And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
What up, Taylor and teammates? Appreciate the love.
All right, boys, whenever you all are ready, go for it.
5, 4, 3.
He is none other than Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Dole?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Do another podcast, exclusive podcast for you only. Just like the old days, just me and Jalen. Just no television limitations. No executives listening. We can say whatever we want. We can cover it all. And who is joining us later on in this podcast exclusive program, Mr. Rose?
King Ryan to be here. And the thing about it, he knocking people out with body blows. He had 21 professional fights, 18 of them KOs. And he trying to make a name for himself in the lightweight division.
He's going to tell us who he wants to fight next and who he's going to fight next, how he's going to end that fight. He's going to tell us how he has a big payday on the horizon. He won't tell us exactly who that is about, but I have a guess, and I guess it, and we'll get his reaction from that. But right now, we're going to start with last night's huge regular season matchup between two Eastern Conference powerhouses. One has been established for like a run of 3 years. We know what it is. It's Coach Bud. It's Giannis. It's Lopez. It's Middleton. And now it's Holiday. DiVincenzo starting off. But Jalen, Kevin Durant has a new running partner, and it's not Kyrie Irving. It is James Harden. Watching the game last night go back and forth and be tight the entire time and end up with James Harden hitting Kevin Durant for a wide open three at the top of the key. What were some of the things that you took away from watching this game in terms of how this season will play out in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, my best Bernie Mac that the league's in trouble, trouble, trouble. To the point where, like I said, I thought back to the Heatles when LeBron went to Miami. And I'm like, they won 2 championships in 4 years. That's the barometer that I'm setting for this group. I'm already there. And the secondary story is Giannis not being a threat from 3-point range enough to be guarded and them running offense in a way to take advantage of it. When you're so very athletic like he is and so long and somebody wants to give you that space, it's like a boulder going downhill. It's momentum. You should take that space. You don't have to necessarily, quote unquote, settle for jump shots. They're playing the percentages. And they're doing that because he plays the 4-5. Even if somebody's a poor shooter, like say when the Celtics was trying to win with Rondo as their point guard.
Yep.
Teams still wouldn't back all the way off of him because it's too many other things you can do within the offense to take advantage of that coverage. So that's one of the things Milwaukee has to do in finally closing games. If Giannis can't shoot threes or free throws, and then you're going to get it to Middleton, he got to get me 2 better attempts than those final ones at the end of the game yesterday.
Yeah, Middleton has had a great season. For those that aren't paying close attention to the Bucks, he's really sort of like sort of upped his performance from last year. But last night, those last couple possessions look pretty good for the Nets, not so great for the Bucks. And moving forward, Jalen, you know what? I'm going to go inside baseball. This is the sort of analysis you can get in the podcast exclusive. Is you talked about 2 out of 4 championships and the Heatles coming together. But when those Heatles came together, they all had fresh ink on their contracts. Chris Bosh and LeBron did. So they knew they were going to be together for an extended amount of time. I have a prediction I'm going to make right here on the podcast exclusive.
I know where you're going. I feel like Arnold Horseshack.
They're only committed through this year and next year. And if you are Sean Marks and the owner of the Nets and you're saying, I can, by the letter of the law of the CBA, I can sign all of these guys to a max contract. You know, when the dust settles at the end of next season and they all can opt out and go somewhere or stay, KD's going to stay in the black and white of the Nets. James Harden's going to be in black and white in the Nets. Kyrie's going to be moving on. That's how I feel this will ultimately shake out. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but let's go down that hypothetical highway. What do you think of that prediction, Mr. Rose?
That's not too far off. I'm kind of rolling with you on that. Because at some point, you're going to have to build out the rest of your roster. That's why usually teams that form like mega powers in the first year don't necessarily win the championship, because you really have to acknowledge the strengths and weaknesses of the best players and what it fit around them. And after next season, you're saying players like Joe Harris and DeAndre Jordan, and I agree with you, by the way, will fit better with those two than Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they're better players, saying they're going to be more complementary. And they're going to need some other wings to guard. So James and KD don't have to when Tatum and Brown, LeBron James, cats like that come to town. And so your prediction, it ain't far off. And just so you know, I'm getting in your backpack and I'm rolling with you on that one, actually.
I appreciate that. And there's also another factor that people are forgetting. Dinwiddie's going to be back. Dinwiddie could be back. You know, and do you know what they need help with? DeAndre Jordan can't play 37 minutes a game. I've always been a DeAndre Jordan fan. I always felt like he was undervalued. I think people were like, well, he can't shoot free throws and he can't post up, that he's no good. And we've seen what he did with that Clippers run. And he's got a relationship with KD and Kyrie, which has sort of helped him along in his Nets run. But he played over 37 minutes yesterday, and that can't be the recipe for another, whatever we're talking, 57, 58 regular season games, and then who knows, 20 or so playoff games. Like, that can't be the recipe at this point in DeAndre Jordan's career. So they're going to need some help. They're going to have to go small with KD at the five, because they don't really have much else to throw at a big besides DeAndre Jordan, something like he gets in foul trouble.
And also, if you're playing KD at the five, you don't have to play the coverage to where he's underneath the rim while Giannis is in the action. Because teams are going to start taking advantage of that. All they have to do, when you're open, it's just like your rec ball. Screen for somebody. That's what I say. Anytime that I'm playing rec ball, everybody just screen for someone else. That's all you have to do. Somebody's going to get a shot every time. Well, and that's what Giannis has to do. He has to be a screener. He has to be somebody that does dribble handoffs. And then he has to be somebody that's an aggressive scorer.
So I know that there are some people in NBA circles that listen to this podcast, but I would say that the vast majority of this podcast is much more familiar with rec league basketball than NBA basketball. And I just want to say, as someone who's played rec league with you or pickup with you, you don't set normal screens, Jalen. You set NBA screens and pickup environments. Like, you'll straight grab. I remember one time I was trying to get around a Jalen Rose screen, and he grabbed me from the outside of both of my upper arms, like my biceps. Each one, like not just one, each one. Like in the NFL, the ref would have called holding on that one. But what am I going to do, call an off-ball screen and pick up? You can't call an off-ball screen and pick up. That's not how that works.
And also, you do it in a way where you become such a vet. If you call a foul, everybody else look at you like you weak.
Of course. Of course.
Like, oh, man, he calling weak fouls. That wasn't nothing. Like, I don't even have to say nothing because everybody else really don't understand what I just did to you.
And we saw KD and Harden combine for 64 points in a Nets win, which could have been a Bucks win. Like, you know what? I one thing I'm not going to overreact to is a 4-point swing one way or the other. Because what I saw from the Nets, even if they lost that game, was the Eastern Conference champions. Even if they lost that game. But they didn't lose that game. They ended up winning it. But the Lakers, who we all sort of predict will be the Western Conference champions, they have a duo, AD and LeBron. But their performance in Golden State was a little bit different than the performance of the Brooklyn duo. How so, Mr. Rose?
High efficiency Steph Curry being aggressive in crunch time, and watching them not feeling like they're trying to limit his shot attempts or manage his minutes. It's more so, we know the Lakers and the Clippers are the favorites. But I'm a reigning MVP playing in his prime too. And so it's like Steph playing like we saw Russ play when he lost KD, when he averaged a triple-double and won MVP. Or like Dame has been playing without another all-NBA consistent performer, even though CJ McCollum is a baller. And so that's what Steph is doing. He's taking it personal. And he shot them down. And he just needed somebody else to show up and play better than they've been playing all year. And that was Kelly Oubre. Making threes, playing D, being an agitator.
Absolutely. And you mentioned CJ McCollum. I just want to say that it really hurts my heart to see he's going to be out for 4 weeks with foot and ankle injuries or foot injuries. And, man, he was just on such a tear this year, too. It felt like he was going to take the leap, and now he's going to have to rehab. He'll be back in time to make an impact later on in the season for those Blazers. But Steph Curry, man, you know what it was. And on the television portion, we had it up today.
The braids.
When he had the braids, they were 0-2, and he was averaging under 20 points a game. They lost by like 27 to the Nets, and then like 37 to, I want to say, like the Clippers or the Lakers, another good team. Like, and then he said, you know what, I'm taking these braids out. What happened once he took the braids out, Mr. Rose?
You know what? I have a piece of splendid editorial excellence that I want to spit for our podcast listeners.
Splendid editorial excellence?
Yeah, that's extremely important in this Steph Curry news.
Dope.
We left off something that really like should be the headline. That Steph Curry with braids was a failed test. That's what it was. Steph Curry with braids was a failed test. He got the commercial this offseason. They look good, wanted to try something different, and then all of a sudden, basketball starts. And you're like, whoa. These things kind of tight. Whoa. These things take longer to braid. I ain't napping as much. You know what I'm saying? Whoa. Like, hold on. And then he starts struggling, and he made those 105 in a row the next day in practice. Ever since then, no braids.
Well, I also want to say that it mirrors someone else who's prominent in the NBA circles when they spent 3 months gearing up for, because you know Steph had to grow out his hair. He had to shave the sides. Like, he really committed to those braids, and then he took them out. Much like someone else I know who grew out their hair for 3 months, shaved the sides, had a Christmas gig, and now all of a sudden is wearing a big doofy Detroit beanie in every show that we do.
What had happened was, it was a red carpet thing, dog. You know, I wanted to be fresh for Christmas Day. And, you know, I just wanted to really freak out my outfit. So the burst fade was going to be the exclamation point. So I made a 2-3 month sacrifice for Christmas Day. Because, you know, sometimes people forget who the fashion icon is. And I just got to remind them. As I see everybody wearing turtlenecks under their blazers or hoodies and stuff like that, I should be having a reminder, and that's all.
Jalen, I want to point out something that Paul George pointed out. Not only are the Clippers just, they're kind of rocking right now, and no one's really talking about it because the Nets are taking attention, the Lakers are taking attention. Paul George has been playing amazing, shooting like 52% from three. Like, he's literally shooting like 50% from three this season. And here's what he said about the team. Remember at the end when they lost in the bubble? People talking about chemistry, people pointing fingers at Kawhi not being a leader, people pointing fingers at Paul George, talking about we'll get him next year. Well, Paul George said this quote, "The chemistry is amazing. It's a real bond. It's fun with this team. It's locked in. We are together. It is one of the best locker rooms I've been around in." And then he went on to say this later, quote, "We've moved on. For some reason, a lot of people haven't, but we've moved on." And he's talking about us. I think he's talking about the media. He's like, we moved on from what happened in the bubble, but a lot of people haven't. A lot of people, like, that bubble stench still follows them around. That side of the backboard shot still follows Paul George. The fact that Kawhi and Paul George were sitting down on the sideline as their season came to an end. It wasn't a close game. That still follows them now. I think that he's right. That they've moved on, but we as the media have not. The fans have not. Do you think he's being accurate?
Well, you have the perfect person to tell you the translation of what he's saying.
Okay.
I got you.
I'm listening.
I definitely got you. So basically what he's saying is we have better chemistry without Doc, Montrez, and Austin.
Ooh, okay.
That's what he's saying, first off.
Okay.
The next thing that he's saying is, since they're gone, we're winning. So we want y'all to focus on what we're doing now, not us underachieving last year when people like me picked them to win the championship. Like, forget about that. Like, ignore that happened. Ignore that they hit the side of the backboard and ended on the bench. Ignore that part of it. Ignore that part. Just focus on what's been happening these 15 games of the season. That's what he's saying.
One thing I love about this 2021 recording the podcast is we're doing this via Zoom, and occasionally Jalen goes in and out of reception, and it makes you sound like you're slurring your words and you're hammered. You know what I mean? So I kind of wanted to keep that part in, but it was just like, I just want to let the people listening at home know that that is a technical difficulty. Jalen is not on the sauce right now. But I have heard a lot of people pick the Lakers to win the championship. I've heard people pick the Bucks to win the championship. I've heard people pick the Nets. I've even heard people pick the Sixers. I've heard people talk about the Nuggets. I haven't heard a lot of people talking about the Clippers. When just a year ago, that Clippers team was your pick. And it had a lot to do with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, not necessarily Austin Rivers, Montrezl Harrell, and Doc Rivers. They've added some other pieces that arguably could have made them better. Why don't you think they're being looked at as a true championship contender by mainstream media?
Number one, the Lakers are so good and they got better. Good point. And number two, funny what? 7 days can change. A stand-up ninja, now you sit down to aim. When they got Kawhi and PG, they had a firm grip. But now it's only names. It was all good just a week ago. That's what it is, dog. That's what it is.
I just want to say that I'm always open. I don't lie into microphones. And that line has always bothered me because when I go pee in the 2 in the morning, I sit on the toilet. I do. If it's 2, 3 in the morning, I'm sleepy. I don't even turn the light on. You know, I'm old now. The bladder ain't popping. So if it's 3 in the morning, I'm not standing up to aim. I'm sitting down.
You're just lazy.
Yeah, it's just lazy. I don't do it the rest of the day. Like, it's not, I'm saying, like, if it's 3 a.m, I'm getting out of bed with the sleepy eyes. I barely open them. I don't even turn the light on in the bathroom. I feel my way to the toilet. I'm sitting down.
Jacoby, I want to teach you something if it'll help. That's the whole macho point behind it, is always having the strength to stand up even when you got to go.
Well, you know what? I think the macho's thing you can do is be honest and be honest with your people and not lie to microphones and not act like a tough guy. I'm not a tough guy. I'm not a tough guy. I'm not strong. I'm weak. You gotta be self-aware in this world, man. You gotta know who you are.
Correct.
I'm not a gangster. I sit down to pee in the middle of the night. It's just what happens. I'm not gonna lie about it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
So, Jalen, I need you to take us behind the curtain on something, because there's another thing going on in the NBA that, again, like, not going to get a lot of recognition on national talk shows and local shows and even NBA-specific shows. But Kevin Porter Jr. of the Cleveland Cavaliers had some incidents in college and then gets to the pros. He was gone for a little while for personal reasons from the Cavaliers. He comes back and he became super upset when he arrived in the locker room on Friday and noticed that recently acquired Taurean Prince had taken over his locker. And his new locker was amongst the, quote, end of the bench players. I think I got that from The Athletic. I did. So, Mr. Rose, I don't know how the real estate of an NBA locker room goes. But he's gone for a couple weeks for personal reasons. Comes back. Taurean Prince has got his, what he considers to be a prime spot. He loses that. Goes to, quote, unquote, one of the end of the bench players. Not only that, he throws food around the locker room, allegedly. And it got to the point where Kobe Altman needed to come down, allegedly. And I wasn't there. And sort of cool things out. Jalen, there's a lot of angles to this. I know you know which ones to pick. Take us behind the curtain.
So, a couple of things, fam. Number one, as you mentioned, this young man has dealt with some issues as it relates to depression and anxiety. And so that's a real thing. And as we talk about human beings, I want to make sure I always stay conscious of that because, you know, you still want people to win at life regardless. I first heard this story, and one of the things that stood out to me is when he returned to the locker room, it should not have been a surprise that his locker was moved.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm going to be that person that goes there because I've been a part of team sports my entire life. And for those of us outside of a team, we elevate Sexton and Garland and Andre Drummond, and we do it because of how well they play. But when you're on a team, you're taught that everyone's role is just as important, even though we know every person's role is not equal to the team's success. And so, yes, when you do return to the team and you didn't know that your jersey had been moved or altered or changed or whatever, that is disrespectful. That is shade. And most NBA players would be upset about that. Now, how you handle yourself when you get upset at your job is something totally different. Cleveland has been synonymous with players throwing food because J.R. Smith did it, because they created a common area to where players and organization members can congregate. And so that's where those incidents can actually take place. So that's it. It seems like, oh, it happened with J.R. Now it's happening with them. It just, that space lends the opportunity for you to spend quality time, but also gives you an opportunity to confront people if you want to also. When you find out that your jersey or whatever has been altered, moved, changed, or whatever, if you want to keep your job, you can't now start throwing food, cursing out the whole building, and doing what led to him potentially going to get cut or released. That is not the way to handle it. And since he did handle it that way, that is going to be the course of action. Not saying that he won't deserve another opportunity, because I believe that he's an NBA player, has potential, and deserves another opportunity. But when you handle yourself unprofessional and irresponsible and lose your discipline, in a lot of cases, you're going to lose your job.
Yep. Especially in that environment. That is very well put, Mr. Rose. There's a are you familiar with the city of Detroit, Michigan?
What up, though? Bossed up 24/7. Detroit's most wanted. Stand up. Chaos and Maestro in the building.
Well,
Drunken Master. OG Trick. Keyshawn.
There's a dispensary in Detroit that will give you a free joint if you receive the COVID vaccine. What do you think of this strategy?
First off, this is a great opportunity for the United States of America to give blacks reparations. If you want us to go take the vaccine, just give us all $2,500. We'll go take it. We'll take it. And that's just a down payment. You could give us the remainder of our $250,000 over the course of 12 to 24 months. But you can start off with the $2,500 or the $250,000 that you can give all of us. For a joint, there a lot of people will do a lot of things, but I can't front. That's not going to necessarily move the needle for black and brown people who just have not been as comfortable with, you know, hospitals and, you know, those settings.
Mm-hmm.
And also, number one, it lasts 6 months and you got to get more than one shot. Like, that's becoming
for
a job.
Them, yes.
Am I missing work to do this?
All right, Jalen. Something else I want to discuss with you. You know that I am a card-carrying, lifelong, die-hard member of the Bills Mafia, right?
Oh, that's what you are? Yes. That's what 8 months gets you?
Yes. Lifelong, card-carrying, die-hard member of the Bills Mafia. And me and my Bills Mafia brethren and sistren, after Lamar Jackson got a concussion during the game, do you know what the Bills Mafia did, Mr. Rose?
What's that?
Went online, got together, spread the word, and donated over $360,000 to charity of Lamar Jackson's. Now, Jalen, this is impressive, but it's also, in its own weird way, a little bit of a troll job, and I love both ends of it. What do you think about Bills Mafia donating over $350,000 to Lamar Jackson's charity in the wake of him being concussed?
You said you could be mean if you're funny. This is classically mean without being funny.
No, I think it was in the spirit of celebrating him and like being, I wish we could do something for him, not ha-ha, thank you for being concussed. Like, I think you're misinterpreting. You know what I mean? I don't think this was look, you got concussed. We're going to, like, poke kiki at you and give you money. I don't think that's what was going down.
Well, I didn't speak yet.
Yes, you did.
So I didn't speak yet. I know that they weren't trying to be rude to him, but the gesture started, if you're him, from a space of being mean, because it's only happening for two reasons. Because I got hurt and because we lost. You forgot that part of the story, Bills Mafia fan. So I'm not happy about that. I know you enthusiastic that you won your first playoff game since 1994.
Second playoff.
But here's what you don't know. And that was it was an amazing gesture by them and you guys, since you're a part. And that's a classy move. Classy move. At 360K, that's a game changing figure. I applaud y'all. But here's what I want to say to you. You ready for this? You picked the wrong fan base to be a Die Easy member of. You picked the wrong fan base. You didn't pick like Clipper Nation or like Purple and Gold. You picked Bills Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what that means. You've seen a lot of movies. You're from the East Coast. You work. Look at that river right by South Street Seaport. Look, right. It's a body floating right there. Look.
Since we moved here, I've seen at least two bodies float up.
You see that right there? Right. You know up close and personal. So I asked you, And I say this to Bills Mafia, please start sending me the kind of things and don't go too crazy, y'all. Y'all know what I mean. Give me some fun punishments that y'all gonna give David Jacoby if and when he tries to leave Bills Mafia after y'all have a 3-game losing streak at some point. Cause it's gonna happen. I'm warning y'all right now. I know right now y'all think y'all gonna never lose 3 in a row. It's gonna happen. And when y'all do, he's gone. He's long gone.
Well, first of all, it's gonna take a lot less than 3 losses in a row, dog. It might just take 1 loss this weekend. I mean, come on. Huh? You underestimated just how die-easy of a fan I am. Big shout to Bills Mafia. Big shout to Pat Spittler and Tim Green. My Bills, my Buffalo connection. You know what? Can we have Benny the Butcher back on the show?
Yeah, it's about that time.
Can we have Benny the Butcher back on the show?
It's about that time. We got to check on him, you know. He got, unfortunately, shot in the leg when he was in Houston a couple of months ago. We got to check on him health-wise, make sure our brother's good, see how he holding up, you know, how he getting ready to watch the Bills this weekend, that type of stuff.
So we're going to check in on Benny the Butcher for sure. And, Jalen, I know you love NBA basketball. I know you love your family, your faith, and, you know, lobsters. And there's so many things that you love in the world. But one thing I know that you really love is versus battles. And I've got a rumor about an upcoming versus battle that really whets my appetite. This one I'm really excited about. Travis Scott versus Future. Your thoughts on this potential matchup?
First off, it's not going to happen as of right now. That could change after you hear this podcast. But as of right now, that's been on again, off again. As of right now, Tuesday afternoon, it's off again. But here's what I will say about that. And at me if you want to. Travis Scott don't have a chance.
He's got the energy and he's got hits. He just doesn't have the depth of hits. Like, there's going to get to a point where Travis is going to start playing songs I don't know. And I'm not the hugest Travis Scott fan. I don't listen to the album front to back over and over again. But in most of the versus battle, I know every song that they play. But in this one, I just feel like the depth of what, you know, I would say, like, the top hits that Travis has are bigger than the top hits that Future has, but he just doesn't have the stamina to go 20 tracks deep. That's what I would say.
Right. Right. And let me repeat what I said, because I want to make sure that ain't no gray area to what I said. No gray area. Travis Scott don't have a chance. He don't have a chance, dog. He don't have a chance.
Doesn't mean it wouldn't Future be a good show.
That's something different. That's something different. You know, one of my favorite fights of all time was Marvin Hagler and Tommy Hearns. 3 of the greatest rounds in the history of championship level boxing. Everybody got a chance to enjoy it until my guy went down. The Hitman, Tommy Hearns. And so I wasn't enjoying it as much at that point. And so that's how I feel about this. This is 80-20.
Jalen, look forward to having Benny the Butcher on, but who is joining us on this podcast exclusive Jalen and Jacoby version right now?
King Ryan Garcia, lightweight, ranked number 4, 21 fights, 18 KOs, 8 million followers on IG, getting ready for a mega fight that he gonna tell us about, and then letting us know who he's ready to challenge in the division.
And exactly how many rounds it will take before he knocks out that challenger, who his big fight is, and much more with Ryan Garcia coming right at you.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is exclusive content for our podcast. And on the podcast portion, Ryan, we can be a little more personal, a little more chill. I love the fact that you're in your living room with the family right now. Does homegirl behind you know that she was on national television while she was cooking breakfast?
Do they know that? They probably don't. And we probably don't want to tell them that. You know what I mean?
Well, we appreciate you joining the show. And again, I want to congratulate you on being born again. What went into your decision to do that at this point of your life?
You know, it was just God's calling for me. There comes a turn point in your life. You know, God, he will call you. You know, he may put you through some hardships, like emotionally, and that's what I was feeling. You know, after my fight, I was just having so many, you know, racing thoughts, and I was, you know, so in my mind. And you know, I've been through that before, don't get me wrong. I've been through anxiety, depression, and things like that. But you know, God was really pulling on to me to really get right, you know what I mean, get right, and just to be an example for this younger generation. And I said, you know what, I'm listening to you. You know what, I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna change my life, and I'm gonna put away of my old life, and I'm gonna start a new one through Jesus Christ. And that's what I did.
And just so you know, personally and professionally, as somebody that did the same thing around 10 years ago, it was the greatest decision, and I think it saved my life. So big time props to you.
Man, that's some amazing perspective you just offered us, Ryan. Really appreciate that. Now, one thing I want to ask you about is you're so popular online and on Instagram. You've got something like 8 million followers. But, you know, as we've seen people kind of get swept up in the phone and swept up in social media and sort of replacing that with real life and getting caught up in likes and comments and DMs, how do you keep that perspective between real life and what happens on your phone and social media?
Oh, man, there's a balance to everything. You know what I mean? Yes, you need to use your phone sadly, to stay updated on what's going on in the world. And that's just how it is. But you also need to get outside, you know, see what God made, man. Go outside, ride some bikes, man, and go see the world. But then you also need to be aware, because there is a lot of changes going on in the world that you need to be aware of, because, you know, sometimes it gets hectic, as you've seen.
Your punching power has been outstanding. 21 fights, 18 KOs. Just talk about your work ethic and why you know that shot can be there whenever you need it to be.
Oh yeah, that's why I know, that's why I'm so confident, because I know that my training, I put the work in. And I said in my last fight, your work is the truth. So if you back up your words, I know that you put in a lot of work, because, you know, it's not easy, you know, to be a true professional. That's day in and day out. And you can look at me right now, I'm not out of shape. I can go in the ring with anybody right now, because I stay in shape. And I'm not just saying that. I can prove it, you know what I mean? But that's the thing that everybody's missing. Things are not given, they're earned. And that's the one thing that a lot of people are missing. They're like, oh, I work hard. Yeah, there's somebody else working hard too. You gotta work harder than the person that's working hard. Mm-hmm.
You know, being from Southern California and the success of the Lakers and the Dodgers winning the World Series and you, you know, becoming a rising, soon-to-be champion in the lightweight division, mm-hmm. How does it feel sort of like being in L.A. as a sports fan right now?
You know, L.A., L.A. is a... It's obviously a town where they have a lot of pride, you know what I mean, for their sports, for their athletics. But I feel like I'm more proud that I'm not only doing the best I can do, you know, in the ring and as an athlete, but I'm also doing as best as I can as a person to show example. And that's what I like about LeBron. That's what I like about a lot of big athletes that stand up for, you know, the truth. You know, that's what I like, that you're not only using your athleticism for, you know, the glory of yourself, you do it for the glory of God and for the glory of the people. Need to know the truth, because, you know, there's racism, there's so many things on this world that need to be spoken about and they need to be addressed.
What type of adjustment has it been for you professionally and personally, just dealing with the last 12 months and a pandemic and COVID-19 and training and wearing a mask? Like, what has it been like the last 12 months for you and your camp?
Oh, man, you can imagine it was ups and downs. I fought in February, right? So so I didn't fight until January 2nd, 2021. So it's been a long, hard fought journey, but it's I mean, it would be disrespectful to the families that aren't really having it tough. You know what I mean? Those families are the ones that got it tough. And, you know, I worked my way through it and, you know, I got through it, yes. But there's so many families out there and like where they don't have much, and imagine them going through this COVID experience with, you know, and it's just sad. And I just hope we could all find a way to do something about it.
So I read that your amateur record, I might have this going off the top of my head, with 215-5. 215-5. Wow. I can't picture you stepping in the ring and losing. What happened That's those five crazy. Times? What happened no, those five honest, times?
Honestly, I'll be truthful. You need to add a one to that five. I was 215-15, but that still is hard in the amateurs because in the amateurs it's three rounds. So you don't have many rounds, and then they count your losses when you're 8, 9, 10 years old. So you know it's very you cannot. It's hard to keep a perfect record in the amateurs. That's where you learn. You know what I mean?
Right, you like 8 years old. You ain't had breakfast that morning.
Yeah, my son is seven. Like, people even ask him about his performance 30 years later. Like, come on now.
I know. You guys bringing up my past. I forgot about that kid. Man.
Why you bringing up old stuff? Why you keep bringing up old stuff, Jacoby?
But the one thing I know about a competitor, and I want to ask you this before we let you bounce, is that when I brought up Tank and Loma and Lopez, you purposely didn't call him by his fight name. You used his government name. Why is that?
Because, man, you are no Tank to me, man. Your name is Gervonta Davis. I'm going to beat you down. You don't have that. You know what I mean? That's my... You push me, trust me, I come out. So it's just two rounds. That's all it's going to take. You hear me, Gervonta. I've been telling you for a while. It's two rounds. You're not going to make it out of two. And I'm living in your head. You know that. That's why you're worried. But it's fine. You know, it's not going to hurt. When I drop you, it's not going to hurt. It's going to be quick, simple. And I'm going to be there to pick you up. And you, like I told you, will be a hero in Baltimore forever. Don't worry.
Wow. Well, you heard it from the man himself, Ryan Garcia. You are welcome to come back anytime, even after you announce this next big fight that you have going on. Look forward to you and your rising career. And thank your family for allowing us into the living room while they're making breakfast at the crib.
Hey, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate you. You guys are doing a great job with the show. And I just appreciate this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Come back anytime.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Thank you.
All right.
I want to thank Ryan Garcia letting us in the living room, Jay. You know what I mean? That's one thing I like about the 2020 interviews. It's just like up in people's living room. There's someone in the background cooking breakfast. It's early in the morning on the West Coast. It's just so good to get a little peek into these people. They're yelling for someone to get a headphones. Like, hey, we got headphones. He's the best. Big shout to Ryan Garcia. Big shout to you, Jalen Rose. Big shout to Jeannie Rose. And
yes, indeed,
we will be back tomorrow, maybe with a special guest. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. The butcher might be coming. Ninja, we're not done.